Okay, let's get started this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10 will be our main passage. And if I could get Devin, if you'll read that for us. 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 10. So Pastor Greg has said that in life you will have what you can live with. And so I want to begin based off of that quote, ask a couple of questions. Is what are you living with today? What are you tolerating in your life? So do you want more than where you're at right now? Do you want better than where you're at right now? Do you want to see things beyond what you have seen so far today? Then, according to Pastor Greg's quote, you have to be fed up with living with less. And so in the passage that we're going to look at, a man by the name of Jabez, he decides that he will not live with less. And he goes to God and he asks God for more. And that's what I want to look at this morning, contending for more, out of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10.
Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested.
Okay, contending for more. Let's talk firstly, let's think about living with less. There are many in life that are living with less. They could have more, right? They could see different breakthroughs in their life, but they've settled. They've resolved, I can live with less than. Sure, that's what God can do, but or that's who God is, but they live with less. So some, they're living with less in their relationship with God. In the book, Five to Thrive, I talked about, repeated a quote from Kathy Cook, "I didn't know what I didn't know about God." In other words, there's so many parts about who God is. There's so much more that God can do. There's so much more that he wants to heal or fix. There's so much more that he could break through in a life, but settling or living with less, I didn't know what I didn't know about God, because you're only going so far. There's some, they live with less in marriage. Your marriage could be an incredible blessing. Your marriage can be one of the best assets to your life. Your wife can be your greatest helper by making some small adjustments in life that can pay out some big dividends. But there are many men living with less in their marriage. There's others, they're living with less in their parenting. There's others, they're living with less when it comes to money. Living with less when it comes to fruitfulness, when it comes to anointing, dominion, fill in the blank, because in life you will have what you can live with. If you can live with that, then that's where you'll stay. If you can tolerate that, then that's where you'll live. And there are many that I believe are living with less. So let's think secondly then about reasons for less. So we need to think about, why would someone live with less? And I want to ask that. Get your minds jogged this morning. Why would someone live with less? Yeah, Phil?
Maybe they don't deserve more.
Okay, issue of worth, yeah.
Comfortability.
Okay, they're comfortable there, yeah.
They're just not aware that it's just a spirit.
Good, yeah. They're blind. Good, they're not aware. Yeah. It
takes some effort and aggression.
Okay, yeah. So if it takes effort and aggression, then they're not doing that. It's laziness, right? What else? Saw a couple more hands. Yeah.
Not willing to change personal.
Okay, yeah. Not willing to put in the work. Yeah. Absolutely. All those would be true. So this is why, yes, reasons why people live for less or with less. Number one, like Devin said, he said it's comfortable or it's familiar. In other words, this is what they've always known. They've never known anything else. They've never experienced anything else. For them, it's normal. You ever heard the term, it is what it is? You know, it is what it is. No, it's not. It is what you've allowed. Or it is what you're allowing. What you're tolerating. What you're expecting. Because really, it's not normal. That's not God's normal. God tells us what our normal should be. God tells us what we should experience. Pastor Greg has kind of repeated this idea recently a number of times, using Anthony's testimony as an example with meeting this millionaire who owns a lot across the building that he wants to rent and meeting the mayor and meeting all. And he says, I'm not shocked by that because that should be normal. That is normal. That's the favor of God in a life. But you can look at that through so many other lenses, but there's a lot of people, because it's familiar, because it's comfortable, I'll live here. Others, like Phil point out, they think it's what I deserve. Right? It's a worth issue. There's some men, they think, I don't deserve more. Number one, because we don't have a healthy view of our own worth. We don't have a healthy view of ourselves. Let me tell you something. When you do not have a healthy view of yourself, it's going to impact everything. Because you think, now, God can't bless me. Why? Well, because, yeah, but what does he say about you? What does he think about you? You haven't actually looked at his opinion. So it's what I deserve. Or there's others, they have in that idea of worth, under that umbrella, they think, I should be content because it's better than what I had. Or I have more than I really deserve. And so, again, it comes back to worth, though. Right? I've had people, I've had conversations. Well, you know, I believe God loves me, but I don't think he likes me. I believe God wants to bless me, but I've got to earn it. I believe God wants to help me, but who are you to tell God what he should do or think about you? Right? And so here is this idea that it holds them back and causes them to live with less. Or finally, the third part to this worth idea is I shouldn't expect anything more because I've messed up. Because there's some failures in my life. There's some failures in my past because I haven't done things like I should. But thank God he is merciful. He doesn't give us what we deserve. And thank God he is gracious. He gives us what we don't deserve. Right? Both of those at work, that's the nature of God. But there's many, they haven't caught that revelation. God's mercy, God's grace. So here is where I'm going to live. I only go so far in my relationship with God. I only can get so far in my marriage. I only can get so far in finances because they think it's a worth issue. Thirdly, as someone else had pointed out, I think it was Lem, he said they don't know any better, another way to say it, it's ignorance. We don't know what God says about certain things. We haven't put in the work to understand God's promises in a certain arena of life. We haven't dived into a deeper understanding of these things. So as a result, right? There's no vision. There's no hope. For a lack of understanding, the Bible says, the people perish. Because you don't know God's will, because you don't know His word in certain life matters, then you wind up living with less. Fourthly, another reason, and someone else pointed this out, is that it's spiritual. Right? Blinding spirits keep us corralled in life. So for some, it's the spirit of fear. Fear is paralyzing. Fear holds men back from stepping out. Think about the armies of Israel led by Saul with Goliath taunting them for 40 days. And for fear, they did not go out. That fear, it stopped and paralyzed them. And so for some men, they're living with less because they're afraid to step out. They're afraid of the unknowns. They're afraid of risk. They're afraid of change. And that holds them back. So you're living with less. But that's a spirit, right? God has not given us the spirit of fear. That spirit's holding you captive and making you live with less. Others, it's a spirit of rejection. Rejection tells us messages. As Pastor Greg did in his series, Uprooting Rejection, and again here with the book on its way, is that incredible insight. But it's a spirit that blinds people. It's a spirit that holds them captive in different arenas of life, and it has a voice. It tells us, number one, we aren't accepted. And since we aren't accepted, we'll never be able to be accepted. And since we'll never be able to be accepted, we can't be helped. And there's some, that voice, it screams in the scenarios of salvation, your relationship with God. It shouts in the scenarios of marriage. There's some marriages could be completely healed if a spouse or both spouses would work out their rejection. It impacts your parenting. There are some parents, they're responding to their children out of their own rejection. And it's bringing such an unhealthy environment. There's people, it's affecting their money. It's affecting their fruitfulness because it's a spirit and it causes you to live with less. Thirdly, under this idea of it's spiritual, has to do with the spirit of poverty. And we talked about this yesterday morning quite a bit in discipleship with Pastor Greg. Poverty mindsets and mentalities, right? It's how you filter and view, and there's certain narratives attached to that. That spirit, that poverty spirit, it's blinding. And it keeps us corralled in life. It hinders. Poverty goes, as we were talking with Pastor Greg yesterday, beyond. It goes beyond money. It impacts everything. It affects everything. But it's a spirit that must be broken. There's some men, right? They're stuck living with less because their spiritual dynamics. Things, maybe it's family curses, inherited curses, or you've opened doors in your life, or it's experiences, circumstances that have contributed, whatever the case, that must be broken. Lastly, in why or the reasons people live with less has to do with laziness. And some brought this up also. Is that we don't want to put in the work, really. And I say really because, you know, I have reoccurring conversations with people that haven't put in the work. Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Pastor, I need help. Pastor, can you counsel? Yeah, absolutely. And I'm happy to do that. But you have to put in some work for yourself. Pastor Greg has said many years ago when I was a disciple, you must be part of your own rescue. Now, you ever seen sometimes Coast Guard goes in to save someone and they're flailing, or a lifeguard in the ocean and they're flailing. And sometimes you see those rescuers, they're knocking them out because they're fighting the rescue. And there's some people, they're crying for help, but they're fighting the rescue because of laziness. Right? They have this lazy approach where they really aren't looking for how to fix it for themselves. They want tips. Just give me some good tips for my marriage. Just give me some good tips for parenting. Just give me some good tips for people skills. Now, you've got to put in the work. It's more than microwave remedies. 3 minutes, done. I watched one TED Talk and now that's it. But I got it. Or, as Pastor Greg has said, I think some men believe in magic. Why? Because it seems like they think things are just going to be magically fixed somehow. Never putting in the work. I give people books. Why? Because books tell me how much work they're willing to put in. Right? You know, recurring questions. Okay, have you gotten to that book? Well, you know, I've been busy. Yeah, we're all busy, but, and again, I just don't have time. You do have time. You just have to manage the distractions. Not time management, it's distraction management. There's always enough time. We just have to be willing to put in the work. We have to be willing to dive into whatever is required to fix it if it's important to you, right? Your priorities in life, they reveal what's important to you. And if YouTube cat videos are important to you, you're going to see how much time you're giving to them. If you do a little bit of a budget, where is my time going? It'll make a big difference, but laziness, you're going to have to overcome it. And for many men, laziness is keeping them living with less. Let's close. Let's talk about contending for more. So Jabez decided, right? This is our whole passage. He made a decision. I'm not going to live with less. In essence, what he prays, I'm not going to live with this. What I'm experiencing right now, our passage, verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him his request. This prayer teaches us lessons for contending for more. Number one, he recognized. He identified that his present circumstances were limited, and as a result, his future circumstances would be limited. So he identifies there's a problem here. This isn't going to work. And I refuse to live this way, to live with less. Recognizing there is a problem is step number one to gaining and contending for more. You have to see this isn't God's normal. Secondly, he recognized what it was specifically. All of his prayer, he's looking at life as a whole, and he's saying, this area needs to change. This is what I want to have. This is what I want to experience. But it came out of recognition. Secondly, he called on God. He made God the source of his healing and breakthrough. Yes, this morning, if it's just on us, it's going to be stinking hard. But thank God he's going to help us. That's the hope. Thank God that it's not just up to us, that when we recognize certain patterns in our life, or when we recognize certain limitations, we can say, God, this is unacceptable. Why is it unacceptable? Because you said, because you declared, because your word says, because in that foundation of faith, the word of God, you're laying a hold of those promises. And so he made God the source of his healing. He did not make people the source of his healing. Right? There's some people, they think people are their answer. They think people are their Messiah. He didn't hope for good luck. No, he turned to a living source. It wasn't something in the physical, like money wasn't his answer. There's some, they think, if I just had more money, then my marriage would be better. Then my fruitfulness would somehow be better. Then my... No, he called on God. God is the source for his breakthrough. Thirdly, is he was specific. He told God exactly what he wanted. And that is important, because this goes back to that laziness issue. You've got to think it through. He didn't just say, God bless me. He didn't just say, oh, God help me. He didn't just say, oh, God heal my marriage. No. You get into the specifics. You get into exactly what's needed. So, number one, he recognized, expand me personally. Expand me personally. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. That in that statement, he's asking for something specific in his life. Personally, God, do something in me. Secondly, expand my influence. That's what he's wanting. That's that part of the prayer. Enlarge my territory. Let me have expanded influence in life, with people, in everything I put my hand to. Guide me. Guide me, that your hand would be with me. That's God's guidance. That's what he's asking for. God, guide me into favor. Guide me into breakthroughs. Guide me into righteousness. Guide me into healing of my rejection, or out of poverty, or out beyond my fear. Guide me into healing in my marriage. So he's getting into the specifics. Right? He says, then protect me. Oh, that you would keep me from evil. God, let there be a supernatural bloodline of protection on my life, on my finances, on my marriage, on my children, on my ministry, on my converts. Right? He's telling God, these little umbrellas of life, this is how it applies. And then finally, he finishes, and use my life to bless other people. Right? What does he say there? That I may not cause pain. Why? Because his name means son of sorrow, son of pain. But he says, that's not who I want to be. I don't want to be that. I don't want to live with that title. God, let my life bless other people. Beyond just himself and things he wants, when there is that contending for more, it affects and blesses others. Think about how much Pastor Wayman Mitchell's life, and all the influence and all the blessing and all the that his life has had influenced, it was for other people. Pastor Greg, we know he travels extensively, and when he's out, he's not just touring the world, just looking at sites. He's working. He's pouring out. He's investing every morning into questions, and he'll get home. You know, yesterday morning we had Pastor Greg, and he's giving discipleship. He's pouring out. When he got back from a conference late Friday night, flying in, getting home late, and coming and being here in prayer. to now invest in the men that are here personally under his ministry to bless other people. This is what Jabez is saying. That's what I want for my life. Now, the incredible hope in all of this is that God responded. You might be living with less, but you don't have to. Maybe you recognized as I was ministering some of the areas of why you have been living with less, but you don't have to. You can make some decisions, you can recognize and identify, and then call on the source. Call on God. The Bible says, so God granted him what he requested. God wants to help us. God, the Bible says, right, it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom of heaven. God delights in helping you because he loves you. God delights in helping, maybe it's if you're married, your marriage. God delights in helping you if you have children and parenting. God delights to help you in if it's financial. He can give you breakthroughs. The God of the universe can give you what you need. If it's in ministry, God can help you. God can equip you, give you anointing, give you dominion, because his desire is to help us. God doesn't want us to live with less. Amen. I just feel the Spirit of God. I want to ask you, bow your heads this morning just for a moment here. We'll open it up for questions. Amen. As I was ministering, you recognize there are some areas in your life, any area, not just the spiritual matters, in life, because they're in harmony with each other, they're connected. You're saying, I am living with less. And I've lived this way far too. I'm done living this way. Others, you recognize, I've gotten some breakthroughs. I've gained some territory. But you're recognizing it's like you're slipping back. It's like what was enlarged in your life is shrinking. And you're saying, no, this is unacceptable. I refuse to accept it. You're living with less, but you're done this morning. You're saying, I want to contend for more. You'd lift your hand. God has spoken to you. God has dealt with you. Yes. Yes. Right now, hands are going up. Amen. I want to help you to pray then. Hallelujah. I want to pray over you this morning. And you ask God for things in your own life. Father God, right now, I contend with these men. I rebuke every strategy of hell that is resisting, that is making impact small. God, I need you to give these men clarity. Let scales fall from their eyes. God, I pray right now that they are going to be unsettled with living with less in various arenas of life. And God, whatever it is, maybe it's familiar, it's what they've known, it's a worth issue, it's what they think they deserve. God, areas of ignorance that they're going to dig deeper into your word. If it's a spirit, I break the spirit of fear, rejection, and poverty. God, give them a zeal and a motivation to overcome every work of laziness, every opposition in that arena. Make these men men of character, men of breakthrough, men of dominion in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Father God, and I pray blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God praise right now. Father God, we thank you. Oh Lord, every spirit is broken. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's open it up. You have some questions on contending for more. You have a question that sparked. Yeah, Daniel?
So I had a thought of, like, when you have a church and they start experiencing some revival, there's an element where you may have, like I've observed in the past, like you have the kind of like some people that may have been on the sidelines with their faith is stirred, right? They start seeing people saved, and that kind of sparks faith in them that, hey, I can be fruitful as well. And so is faith a critical component to what you're talking about, to breakthrough? Is that what we're talking about here?
Absolutely. You won't be able to grow beyond whatever, however you're living with less, if you don't have the Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation for all faith. So, but when you get it for yourself, then you can impart it to other people, right? That's something Pastor Greg teaches us. He says, when I get around people, number one, the report is people leave filled with faith. But he said, but that's also what I want. But why? Why is his faith contagious? Because it's in there. He knows the Word of God. Filters life through that. So, yeah, faith would be a dynamic of that. Yep. Because then when you believe it, you're preaching it. As you're declaring it and seeing that declaration demonstrated, whether that be healing, like you're saying, revival, souls, or people are coming in, being converted, locking in, etc., that unlocks and creates an atmosphere of faith. Declaration and demonstration. Yep. Yep. Good. Yes, faith is critical. Yeah, Antonio.
When like praying for a financial breakthrough, do you think it's a factor where you're praying for a breakthrough, but in the end you don't want to actually do the work and go ask your boss for a raise? Instead, you want to just pray for it, but then like you're living comfortable. You're like, but I'm doing what I can, and it's still helping.
Sure.
You don't want to go out there and actually the risk.
Yeah, no, definitely. Then so that would keep you then corralled, like we talked about. So let's think about that. Yes, financially. So what is the first thing we always challenge if you're preaching on financial breakthrough or ministering on it? Is at the pledge, what was the first challenge? Tithing. So you can't ask for God when you're disobeying him, right? So get right with God in the arena of tithing, in the arena of offerings. That's first and foremost. Then now you're giving God access to bless you. But then in recognizing a need, so yes, there's wise stewardship, decisions we make personally. Secondly, would be identifying what you need exactly, right? So like you're saying, but I'm getting by, I'm able to, you know, have a realm or a dimension of saving. It's not great, but I'm trying. So what do you need? I need abundance, right? So now you can get specific. What do I need exactly? Maybe it's abundance. Maybe it's more hours. Maybe it is a raise, you know, however that looks. Then thirdly is sometimes, yes, stepping out because I know my Father in heaven loves me. I know that I've been a good worker, that I'm reliable, right? And you can go in and ask for that, right? And so each one of those, though, are progression. It's a progression, right? And so all of them, though, are also knit together. It's not just one facet, multifaceted. Yep. So definitely being willing to do that. So you might need to pray, right? Write it down. Sometimes people just don't like those things. It's uncomfortable. And that's okay, right? But if you can write it down and maybe have a script, right? You go to your boss, I'm just pulling out my phone because I had some notes here, right? Just to keep me on track. There's nothing wrong with that, right? So finding ways where you can give yourself the courage to do what needs to be done. Yeah, good. Good. Any other questions here? Contending for more. Yeah, Lim.
So I think discontent, that's the starting point, especially when you're witnessing. You want to try to get them lost. Is that just, what are you praying for specifically? Your influence, that your words, you're trying to reach them and show them, you know, hey, you don't have to live like this. There's more for you than this. Are you just praying for anointing? Is that just influence? Is it all the above? I know a lot of that's spiritual.
Yeah. So, yeah, number one, so you're bringing now the element of witnessing and fruitfulness. So in that, again, you've got to be discontent. And I shared this story the other morning in breakfast. Was I got to a point where I was like, you know, as a disciple, I don't want to go to outreach because I'm tired of doors being slammed in my face. I'm tired of people not giving me even an ear. I'm tired, you know, but it wasn't. What happens many times is people say, oh, that's because door to door doesn't work anymore. No, or one-on-one evangelism doesn't work anymore. No, that's not the case, right? Is really, there had to be some changes in me. Number one, practical changes, like people skills, right, is helpful. It doesn't help to go to a door and say, flyers, concert, and tonight, 7. You know, it's like, you because of the nerves. So there's some people skills, right? That's practical. I had to work on that. But then secondly, spiritual. God, this is unacceptable. You have appointed me to go and bear fruit, and that my fruit should remain. So you're laying now a hold of, going back to Daniel's question, faith. You're laying a hold of what God has said about it. Right? That when you witness, it's as though Christ was pleading through you. So God, plead through me to people. Let my words not fall to the ground. Now, you've ever witnessed and they're listening, right? You might get that breakthrough, but it's just like, it's not penetrating their life in any way. It's not, so I need my words to be anointed. I began to pray with Jeremiah, put your words in my mouth. Put your thoughts in my mind. Give me dominion in that. So you're praying practicals, right? You're working on practicals, but then you're praying according to what God has said, right? You did not choose me, but I chose you. Okay, God, then in the choosing, you got to help me. So that's how that work looks. Then you begin to see the steps of dominion and breakthrough. You get people, now they'll actually listen to you. You get people, now you are praying with them, but you never hear from them again. You get the breakthrough, now I can pray with them, and they come to a service, but then they don't come again. Now, because those are steps of dominion. And again, you will have what you can live with. There's some people, they can live with just the prayer. I prayed with them, that was good enough. No, I want them to pray. I want them to lock in. I want them to be converted, involved in ministry. I want to see converts become pastors. I'm not settling for anything less. So, yeah, that's what that can look like there. Good. Very good question. Yeah, Brian.
So when you're looking for those scriptures in the Bible, the whatever God you're trying to look for, how do you go about looking for it? Because I feel like I know it says something in there.
Like, sure.
I don't know where to find it. How do you go about it?
Yeah, good. No, that's a good question, Brian. So, yeah, while you know, people feel that Google is of the Illuminati and will be one day the Antichrist, it is a great tool. So maybe you've heard a scripture. Well, you can Google, right? Simple. You paraphrased it, you know. Let's say it's that scripture, let my words not fall to the ground, scripture. You Google that and it shows up, okay, here's where it's at. Now I can make it, take that and put it in a note, a prayer note that I'm contending for in fruitfulness. Or, you know, if it's financial, where does it say, will a man rob God? There's something about that. Okay, Malachi. Okay, now I can put that into a note on finances, right? So that's number one. You can Google your paraphrases. What an excellent resource, right? If you don't have a Bible program where you can do that, Google's the next best, right? Secondly, is you can Google scriptures on, right? And a great resource, Open Bible is one of them. That's a good resource. They'll always give you 100 scriptures on, and they don't all always fit, you know, it's kind of a stretch. It's like, but at least it's a starting point. And you can begin to, as you're reading through, there's certain scriptures that will resonate with you. That's the Holy Spirit. Those ones that resonate, take them and put them in a note, or if you write whatever, where you won't forget. But sometimes it's like, oh, that's good. And you pray it for a day and then you forget about it, right? Create your own list. So yeah, utilize the tools that are available to you. Definitely, there's nothing wrong with that. Yep, good. And the great thing too is some of those you can find other translations that communicate the idea, maybe even, you wrap your head around it better. Yep. Good.
Pastor, how do you get past the mentality that you know God wants you to have more? I don't know if this would fall, I guess, maybe into the worth category, but because of either past failures, past experiences, you feel like it's just going to take time.
Okay. Yeah, so that's a good question. So, it's, I believe for it, but it's going to take time, and some think a long time, right? Or, you know, I've got to grow in steps. So let's break this down. This is now where, if that's the feeling you have or the idea, you've got to turn to the Word of God, right? So number one, what's a story of someone who messed up but immediately got everything back? Exactly. Prodigal son, right? So he goes, squanders, right? Makes a mess of life. He's coming back. What's the heart, though? It's repentance. So I repent of this. When genuine repentance is at work, God can do something miraculous. And so as he comes back, immediately the father, we know, the robe, the ring, the shoes, right? So there's that. Secondly, I think it's in Joel where it says what the crawling locust, chewing locust, swarming locust has consumed, I will restore. God can do what would take forever. He can expedite it, right? He can restore immediately. So you turn to verses like that. Yes, I've messed up, but God, you can do it. What's been chewed, what's been swarmed, what's been consumed, you can reverse it. So you got to turn to the Word of God. You're seeing then in each of those, thirdly, how does God feel about you? What does God think about you? Those are actually, they're lessons for us that we don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. It's like, yeah, no, I believe God wants to help me, but first, you know, 40 lashings and then. No, he already took the cross. He already paid for it. So that's the blessing, right? So you've got to turn to the Word of God when you feel that way or when those things are, kind of telling you, right? It's in essence, it's a form of unbelief and it's a form of a worth issue, right? But when you know, what does God think about me? And you have a healthy view of self in light of God. That makes all the difference. Yep, good. Very good question. Yeah, Phil?
Just thinking about expanding in ways that maybe are not specifically listed in the Bible. I mean, generally, one thing I'm working on for sure now is just hearing God's voice better.
Sure.
So I was thinking, you know, in Malachi, it says, try me now in this, if I will not, you know, open up the windows of heaven. So God's saying, go ahead and test me in this area. Can you apply that to other areas? For example, like, let's say I wanted to hear his voice, and I know it says, you know, you will hear my voice behind you, and kind of that,
yep.
Understanding. Like, I was thinking I could go somewhere and say, okay, God, I'm gonna walk through this area. I'm going to believe that you're going to point me out to a specific person and just wait for that, you know, kind of really put a specific situation because I'm trying to grow in hearing his voice. Is that okay, or do I just need to just continue just going and just all my life just listening for his voice? Or can I have these specific situations? Is it okay to do that?
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely get specific with God. You know, that's something that we need to do. You see people do that all throughout the Bible, is they get specific. So, but yes, there is a flood of scriptures on hearing the voice of God. He wants us to know his voice, right? He wants us to hear him. So, really what you're talking about then is developing the ear to sense his voice. Right, that's really what you're talking about. So how do you develop that? Early in the morning, I seek you. Right, so in prayer, that's why we have morning prayer. Early in the morning, I'm seeking your voice. I'm seeking your opinion. right? Incline my ear to hear you, right? Yes, the voice will tell you in which way you should go, whether to the right or to the left, right? So he can speak these things, but how does it look practically, right? Is sometimes we have this idea, we need it all spelled out, like, yes, I saw you in a vision, and your name is Kyle, isn't it? And you have, you know, we want, but sometimes that's not how it works, right? Is like Philip in the Bible, join yourself with that chariot. He didn't have the full picture. He's just obeying, rise and go to the desert. Okay, he's there, right? Join yourself with that chariot. Okay, he's there. He witnesses, that's all he got. Join yourself with that chariot. He didn't get any more, but it was divine.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking about this. I feel like I'm doing that already. Like,
yep.
I'm really trying to just tune in to God. But as far as this conversation, I feel like what can I do to step out to challenge an expansion in my life? Like, what can I do to trigger something?
Obey the small promptings, okay. Right? By being open to God, Jesus said, I know my sheep. And my sheep know my voice. So if God knows you, you'll know his voice. So number one is you're seeking it. Number two is obey the small promptings. When you obey the small things, he who has little or is faithful with little will be faithful in much. So as you're faithful to the small promptings, God says, I can give him more. And I want to give him more. That's how you grow in it. Yep. Good. Very good. All right. Yeah, Dan.
One more. So is this show the importance of maintaining a relationship with, like, a personal relationship with God? Because, like, down the road, either can become, like, a complacent, you know, mentality or just blindness that sets in. You don't realize you're living with less in a certain area.
Sure.
And so that's where the personal relationship with God, God's able to highlight those areas where you're living with less, is that?
Absolutely, he'll highlight those areas. You'll recognize, right? As I said, the first step is recognition. You've got to identify, this is a problem, this is a recurring pattern, this is an issue that's causing me to live with less. Yep, good. Very good. We might need some more copies, but we can get those, Devin, if you'll help us, if we need some more. I think I printed 25.